Good. All right. We're in.
We're in. Well, thanks everybody for being here. Yeah. This is going to be a... Not by the length of this lesson plan. No. No, it's all good. We'll just... We'll go through as expeditiously as we can. So, as we sort of start to be in an attitude of being together in community, what are people bringing to this space? Joys and concerns and things.
Everything went well with the Van Hoff visitors?
Yes, it did. We had a great time with them. And they had a good flight back last Friday. So we're very thankful for our time with them. We enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
And Jane, you're getting better all along?
I am getting better. I gain strength every day, and I'm so thankful.
Good.
Awesome.
And Steve's not bothering you too much?
Not a bit. He's been a great help.
Good.
That's good. Any joys and concerns from anybody in the physical space? Good. Well, let's maybe center ourselves in some prayer before we get into this. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for bringing us together. We give you thanks for the ways that community has shaped us, the ways that we have been blessed by the community here. We give you thanks for the opportunity to learn together, to laugh together, to discern together. Bless our conversation, and bless this time together that it might be fruitful and helpful for us in our Lenten journey. Amen.
So I have some answers to questions which I don't think people even knew they had questions. I believe Mr. Prey asked how many Protestant denominations there were. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia and the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, there are 47,000 Protestant denominations.
Holy cow, I didn't even know that.
Some of those, from the way they take the counting, is regional. So that, you know, if there's a church similar in both places, they may count it more than one. And as far as whether all the books of John are written by the same person, if you answered yes, you were correct. If you answered no, you're correct.
Oh.
They are currently discussing that. The verbiage and the grammar is similar, but they're not 100% sure if John, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the same as John 1, 2, 3. They are thinking that we're at least comparable people. And then the schism, which I thought I had, was basically all sacraments and a few other things regarding Christianity between the, oh, here we go, papal authority, adding... the word Son, from the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit comes. These were the things that separated the Catholic Church and the Orthodox. And then there was thing about brought up about legality of Christianity, which had to do with Constantine and Licinius, who granted freedom of religion and allowed them to practice their faith without persecution, decided there wasn't a state religion, and had discussions about excommunication. A lot of that did not kick in till actually after Constantine had died, but he did start everything. That's all I've got.
So just imagine, these are the things that kept people up at night back then. I mean, it seems a little lofty, but here we are. So,
tonight we discuss what it is to be part of the Union or United Church of Christ.
Yeah. So you're going to get a list. For this first little part. So much of who we are and how we operate in the world stems from our values. You're about to get a list, and I'm just going to invite you to look at it. And choose two or three values from this list that are the most important to you.
And that doesn't come through real well.
It does not come through. We should have put it in.
We should have it saved. Split screen.
There is a link on the bottom of the page that maybe we can grab it from.
Dare to lead or / dare to lead.
Were you successful in that, in getting that there?
I didn't link in it, but I just sent the address.
Yeah. That's great. So I'll give the folks online a little bit more time.
There's also a spot to write your own, so if you're...
Yeah.
This is Jane. I can't see what you're talking about.
I put the web address to where you can find the list in the meeting chat, but it also it's a whole list of values, and it gives you a spot to write your own, so you can kind of pick your own... Mm-hmm. Values, they may be on this list anyway, but
yeah,
can also use your own.
And it's the values that are most important and your guiding principles. How these words you choose shape your values and life decisions.
If you go to do a Google search and type in Dare to Lead, you can find it there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also do you one better. I'm going to make a little scan of this. Jane, you're about to get a text from me with the list.
She got it.
Okay, well, we can start here in person and then let folks online add in as they get the list and as they are able to sort of digest what they see. When you saw when you see this list, is anybody interested in sharing what words you choose, what words you chose, and how these values shape your lives or your decisions or morals or whatever?
One is trust and truth, I think is like one.
Trust and truth.
Something else is like peace, which is, you know, you go to bed at night sometimes, you have sometimes have a hard time having a peace of mind because because some little thing that happened or whatever bothers you.
So calming too.
Yeah.
Honesty, peace, and integrity.
Yeah.
Those are very good, too.
Yeah.
I would say faith and family.
Mm-hmm.
I like trust and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised that family came from you. That was big with that's big with your whole family.
Yeah.
I have kindness, compassion, and curiosity.
I love it. I would say making a difference. I would say connection. I would say creativity. And I would say fun. Those are four. Anybody else?
I have little marks here, too. I have compassion, family, freedom, health, loyalty, and spirituality.
Yeah.
Just a few things.
Yeah.
I'm going to say faith and trust. Truth. Gratitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Diane?
It's hard to
I have compassion, inclusion, and I have family.
Yeah. Right? So the reason why shared this values list with you tonight is because talking about the United Church of Christ as a denomination often starts by talking about not just what we're not, but what we are. What we believe in, what our values are. So we'll be looking at lots of different historical pieces about the United Church of Christ. Specifically, we took kind of a bird's eye view at Christianity last week. Now we're zeroing in on our denomination in a bit more specificity, and so. So we're going to be looking back at an outline of some of the UCC's firsts, some of the things that the UCC, sort of pioneered.
And it goes, I believe it comes from the, United Church of Christ website.
It does.
And
yes.
It goes way back before even we had a United Church to, some of the earliest parts of, the Congregationalists, starting back in 1620, when the pilgrims came looking for spiritual freedom. The 1700, the Congregationalists took a stand against slavery. The 1730s, Congregationalists and Presbyterians decided to recover the passion of a transforming faith. There's civil disobedience that started by Congregationalists in the colony. It's actually one of the better civil disobedience that everybody knows, when a bunch of guys threw some tea into the Boston Harbor. Congregationalists published the first African poet, ordained the first African-American pastor, thought liberty of conscience, which is basically opposing authoritarian Christian government, church and state.
Mm-hmm.
First foreign mission study. First missionaries to India. First school for the deaf. Abolitionist movement. We were against slavery all the way through. 1853.
Antoinette Brown was the first woman to be ordained into the ministry.
Spiritual and ethnic traditions come together. United Church of Christ. We're actually into the start of the United Church of Christ.
Yes, because 1957.
Welcomes believers of African, Asian, Pacific, Latin American, Native American, European descent. Historic ruling that airwaves are public property was a big thing with the UCC. Everett Parker of the Office of Communication helped organize churches to win that ruling. In 1972, the Golden Gate Association ordains the first openly gay person as a minister in a historic Protestant denomination, the Reverend William R. Johnson. In the following three decades, the General Synod afterwards urged equal rights for homosexual citizens. Civil rights activists getting freed. Famed group from North Carolina, the Wilmington 10. First African-American leader of the church was Reverend Joseph H. Evans. That happened in 76. In 1995, the New Century Hymnal.
And the reason why that is on there is because it's the only hymn book released by a Christian church that honors in equal measure both male and female images of God. That is the, when we talk about the New Century Hymnal, that is the black hymnal that maybe you've seen before. This church doesn't use it as its main hymnal, but a lot of, I would say, 85 to 90% of UCC churches do. We use it as a supplement sometimes. Marriage equality in 2005. This actually made national news. UCC General Minister and President John Thomas said that that the Synod had acted courageously to declare freedom, affirming marriage equality, affirming the civil rights of same-gender couples. And it's the General Synod, which is the national gathering of the United Church of Christ in 2005, overwhelmingly passed a resolution supporting same-gender marriage equality. And then finally, in 2023, our current General Minister and President, think of the General Minister and President, sort of like the CEO of the United Church of Christ. Reverend Dr. Karen Georgia Thompson is the first African-American woman And the first woman and the first African-American person to be, first African-American, yeah, first African-American woman to be elected as general minister and president. So lots of different firsts. That was a lot. But, like, do you, so based on what you've heard, do you notice any trends?
I'd say we were the first ones to stand up for something a little bit more progressive or accepting. I remember Christopher Ross did sermons where he had a lot of the history of our church. And I just remember thinking, I'm really proud to be a part of a church that is so far ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And it's the one who takes the first step to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Nicely yeah. put.
Yeah, I like that. Anybody else?
We found out at the memorial service for Kathy Carlson that she was very prominent in Wisconsin about getting women's rights for pastors.
Yeah. That's great. I really wish I could have met her. Everybody here who knows her said that she was just a gem. And yeah, so I think the big question that sort of comes from this too is, by looking at the United Church of Christ's history, how can we get a sense of their values?
Part of the value was to have everybody inclusive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, Lois.
So being inclusive was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Any other characteristics some we think our forefathers had? Or four mothers? Four persons? Ancestors?
Ancestors! There you go.
I don't know if it was listed, but I would go with bravery because
bravery.
We brought up a lot of things that were against the norm, per se.
Right. Yeah.
Could you call them trendsetters?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great word for it, Lisa. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I'm noticing is we have a lot of disagreements in the wider church. You know, we don't always agree on everything. But so many of these things have been done when communities are affirming the particular gifts of certain people whose gifts might not have been uplifted before. And that takes risk, that takes persistence, resilience.
Can you give an example of that? Like, what gifts would not have been?
So I think for me, we think about the Bible story of, can anything good come out of Nazareth? For me, one of the questions that could have been asked in 1873, when Antoinette Brown was, 1850, Antoinette Brown, can a woman preach the gospel? Like, is this really, you know, can a gay person be a model for other people of how to live a Christian life? In both of these cases, the people who ordained Antoinette Brown and I forget the other gentleman's name, I think Joseph, had to say, had to prove that, like, these people have particular gifts for sharing God's word and for sharing the gospel, we can't overlook those gifts just because they are a woman or just because they're gay or whatever.
Also the gifts of diplomacy and mediation, since we've been one of the forebears of anti-slavery and civil disobedience,
right,
and equal rights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that help, Lisa?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
So the church is based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm sorry, Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
As of, I believe I've got from 2022, we have 4,600 churches, over 700,000 members. We've discussed who is in charge. Last week we brought up that we come from Evangelical and Reformed churches, Congregational churches, Afro-Christian Convention. Wikipedia lists us as a socially liberal mainline Protestant Christian denomination with roots in Congregationalism, Restorationist, Continental Reformed, Lutheran traditions, known for its inclusive and diverse community and advocacy for justice and peace, which sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes Wikipedia can be a good source of information. Yeah. We can't do, well, you could actually do this next part. So everybody pull out your phone. And go to UCC.org, and just kind of poke around through the website and ask, ask yourself what you notice, what two or three values words from that list, do you think you would choose for the UCC?
One that I pick up right away is political activism, very appropriate to today with the Protect Medicaid and food stamps.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. That's great.
They really are involved in a lot of different things that you can go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boots on the ground work. Yeah.
I would say the focus is on others, not on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any last thoughts on that? great. John, you want to do the next part?
Sure. I'm going to add just a little something first.
Yeah.
Some of the key characteristics of being in the United Church of Christ: inclusivity and diversity, social justice focus, historical roots, local church autonomy, which can get you into trouble too.
Yeah.
Open and affirming, commitment to peace, global impact, disaster ministries, and reproductive justice. I brought up the, made the smart comment during the autonomy because UCC has a wonderful thing and a curse all in one. Most Protestant religions have a top-down theory that there's somebody higher up and that's how the rest of the churches underneath are going to go. We do have a church that is higher up. We do have the UCC organization with a head leader pastor. But things that are brought up at General Conference and brought up from, I want to get her name right, Ms. Thompson, mm-hmm. don't necessarily have to be followed by the local church. Where if you were, let's say,
Methodist
or Lutheran, if you don't follow what's going on, you're in trouble. Got a chance to talk with Jeff across the street about a couple things. And
oh, cool.
They have a new bishop who is very much straightforward, and this is the way the ELCA is going to be, and please don't vary. And they, prior to that, the bishop before that was very understanding and was very more liberal than I believe this individual is.
Interesting.
So, we have belief statements. And we'll just have a discussion and see if there's any questions or whatever, and see what you think of these. If you disagree, agree, or have questions. The UCC believes in a triune God, Creator, the resurrected Christ, as the sole head of the church, and the Holy Spirit, who guides and brings about the create. Let's try that again. We believe in a Creator, the resurrected Christ, the head of the church, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who guides and brings about creativity and redemptive work of God in the world. Any discussion on that? Okay. As a UCC person, we believe that each person is unique and valuable. It is the will of God that every person belong to a family of faith where they have a strong sense of being valued and loved. I think that was brought up by, I'm not sure if it was one of the individuals, mm-hmm. but how we think of others, not ourselves.
Yeah, that was Jane. Yeah.
Nothing else in that one. Okay. Glad nobody's disagreeing so far.
Yeah.
We believe that each person is on a spiritual journey and that each of us is at a different stage in that journey. Well, Jacob says that at the start of every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I still love to this day the way I learned that for sure. When I was on search committee for one of the previous pastors, we sent out a survey. And one of the members wrote that they would like the priest to wear robes more often during Mass. So they obviously came from Catholicism, and that's the best way they could describe what was going on.
Right.
So every once in a while we need to translate or put things in our own way.
Right. And we don't all believe the same things either. You know, some are more conservative in terms of how they, you know, how they think and how they vote and how they whatever. Some people are more liberal in how they think and vote and, you know, we talk about the values that shape our lives, you know, all of the different things.
Just thinking about liberal. We believe that there's a persistent search for God produces an authentic relationship with God. Yeah. Love, strengthening faith, dissolving guilt, giving life purpose and direction. That's a lot.
Yeah. The persistent search for God produces an authentic relationship with God. Yeah.
In simple question, in simple ways, I see that as having the guts to question and ask to find out what you actually need to know.
Yeah.
Instead of just having it shoved upon you.
Yeah. I have a feeling that a lot of people would, a lot of people that I know could see, you know, could see that question as a, could see that statement as a stumbling block. Like, how far do you go? But that's just it. You know, we're invited to question and to wrestle with what we believe.
And getting a chance to spend as much time as I have been with Jacob, I see him going the other way. Mm. Not asking how far you can go, but you mean there's a stopping point?
Yeah. Yeah.
We believe that all of the baptized belong to the body and soul of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is going to sound very familiar. No matter who, no matter what, no matter where you are on life's journey, notwithstanding race, gender, identity, or expression, sexual orientation, class, or creed, we all belong to God, to one worldwide community of faith. All persons baptized, past, present, and future, are connected to each other and to God through the sacrament of baptism. We baptize during worship when the community is present because baptism includes the community's promise of love and support and care for the person that is baptized, and we promise that we won't take it back no matter where your journey leads you. I like that last part.
Yeah.
If you get a little confused, if you take a side trip, we're not going to give up on you.
Right.
And very much I am a strong believer in that the baptism should be done in community when at all possible.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those in the congregation who are promising to help should.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we had talked about this in one of the earlier ones, and I know we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Baptism is very, it is, the thing with the UCC is you need water, pastor, and a person to be baptized.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
We can sprinkle, we can dunk. You can be brand new baby, you can be 90 years old. We don't care.
Right.
And there is no wrong time. There is no right time. Our sixth belief, according to what we have here, was we believe that all people of faith are invited to join Christ at Christ's table for the sacrament of communion. And by God, is that a rarity and a wonderful gift that we have.
Yeah.
Just as many grains of wheat are gathered to make a loaf of bread, and the many grapes are gathered to make a cup of wine or juice, we, the many people of God, are made one in body of Christ and the church. The breaking of bread and the pouring of wine reminds us of the costliness of Christ's sacrifice, the discipleship to which we are called. In the breaking of bread, we remember and celebrate Christ's presence among us, along with a cloud of witnesses. And that's defined as our ancestors, family, and friends who have gone before us. There is some mystery yet to the Eucharist, to Christ's table, to communion, and it's a lot of lot of it is done by faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, that'll be something for next week because we are going to go into worship of the sacraments next week. But it is, we have talked about that earlier too. It is just shocking how some places you have to have an ID card, a membership, and the right backing to take communion.
Right, yeah.
And it's not whether or not you want a choice. It's the church tells you you are not going to be able to take communion.
Right.
A side note, when my mother would come every once in a while to the church, I constantly egged her on to communion. And she was above.
Never.
She was an Orthodox Lutheran.
Yep.
But that was her belief.
Yeah.
And you, everybody should respect that, because even though you wanted to do something else, that's basically what she believed, and she thought it was totally wrong to do it.
Yeah. And you know that it's true. And you know, it's the thing I always try to stress, whether I say it in so many words or not, but I at least try to, you know, inject that spirit, is that anything that we do in worship, anything that we do in community together is an invitation. You know, we're not forced to do anything. And you know, there can be plenty of reasons why people choose not to take communion or choose not to participate in any aspect of worship, and you're welcome here too, you know. So
You talk nice, you should be a pastor. We believe that the United Church of Christ is called to be united church, that they may all be one. That is part of that the old symbol that we used to have with the circle, the globe, the crown, and the cross. Mm-hmm. And essentials, unity; in non-essentials, diversity; and in all things, charity. The UCC models survive because they touch the core values that are deep within us. The UCC has no rigid formulation of doctrine or attachment to creeds or structures. Its overarching creed is love. UCC pastors and teachers are known for their commitment to excellence in theological preparation, interpretation of scripture, and justice advocacy. Even so, love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
We believe that God calls us to be servants in the service of others. That we've touched on several times already tonight. To be good stewards of the earth's resources. To believe it is to care, and to care is to do. We believe that UCC is a prophetic church. As in tradition of the prophets and the apostles, God calls the church to speak truth to power, liberate the oppressed, care for the poor, and comfort the afflicted.
And sometimes people turn that around and say, afflict the comfortable.
Sometimes you got to get out of your thing of comfort. We believe in the power of peace and work for nonviolent situations to local, national
solutions.
And
nonviolent solutions. You said situations.
Thank you. National and international problems.
Sorry.
No. Because it's usually not a nonviolent situation. It's usually a violent situation. And we're the good guys. We are a people of possibility. In the UCC, members, congregations, and structures have breathing room to explore and to hear. And to hear what? That God is still speaking.
So that was a lot. So based on what you've just heard, let's take a minute and think about how our church, Union Congregational in Waupun, fits into this. When we think about this, those values again, what did you hear in that list of 11 things that John just read that you would think are important to us and to our church and what we do and what we believe.
I guess, you know, me and Diane, when she researched the church's different denominations, that, you know, she thought, well, United Church of Christ really sounds great. We respect everybody, and we welcome everybody. And so the first Sunday we came here to attend a service, the doors are locked. So gone to Milwaukee. She was kind of funny, you know.
We were so nervous because we didn't think we would know anybody in this here.
And then we were so welcoming, we locked the doors.
I wanted to come here and I'll attend both religions, you know. And once I walked in the door, I was like, this is wonderful. This is great. I'm happy here, you know. Like,
yeah. Once we let you in.
Yeah, right?
Once we showed up.
A lot of people knew what that was.
He felt that cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're really spot on with what you've all read. Mm-hmm. I think this church is really spot on with all that. No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I noticed when I first, and I think I might have even said this in the candidating sermon, one of my first impressions of this church when I was talking to the search committee was that the people of possibility thing was really important. Jeff and Kathy were super interested. They asked me if I needed a ride to the in-person interviews. They were going to come to Nina and pick me up, and both times my parents were able to do it, so that was okay. But the thought that they even asked, you know, that wasn't something that was offered to me in any of the other churches that I was interviewing with. You know, it was finding a way to make a way, you know, make things accessible, make things, you know,
and we got lucky.
Aw. Yeah. Thank you. And
sometimes things like that, you don't realize that would affect somebody, like,
yeah,
offering to go with them.
Yeah.
They seem like something that they would offer to do.
I mean, yeah.
That's the kind of people they are.
Right.
But you probably didn't mean an awful lot to them, where it really meant a lot to you.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just on a side note, there's been a reciprocal thing with that, too. Some of the leaders in the Wisconsin UCC have asked me every once in a while, you know, how's it going with Jacob in the Lake? And Jacob and I have talked about this too, with his reliance on certain things because of the way he's built. It gives a lot of people a chance to get that 5-10 minutes with the pastor all alone that they never had before, so that a lot of us are getting a understanding of what's going on in the pastor's head, because we've got that moment of where we're going someplace with them, and we got that chance. We got his ear because he's stuck in the car with us. We've got to talk back and forth.
We have power locks.
It's true. And what one of the things that I'm noticing with that, like, you know, like you're saying, John, is the people, a lot of the people who are the most interesting to talk to in those car conversations are the staunch introverts who never would have said anything to me in front of a whole bunch of people in a greeting line or whatever. But when I'm in the car with them, it's just me and that person. And I've learned a lot about people in those car conversations. And that's been really, really neat.
And then, like Wayne was saying, you know, we hit a lot of these. It's been brought up a couple times outside of church and in church that when somebody brings a cause up to the front with a concern or a joy, how within the next Sunday, we are there to help that person in whatever way is needed.
Yeah.
The food pantry, hurricane relief a couple times ago, the worry of other people's family and friends, making sure they're being taken care of, getting people here and there and everywhere.
People affected by homelessness.
Going to this church, too, like one thing me and Diane noticed that there's no clicking group, all just one. Just one happy group. And I don't feel any backstabbing anywhere, you know, it's just really cool.
Took
a while.
Mm-hmm. Took a while. Yeah,
that's a in progress thing.
Yeah,
it didn't always feel that way, but I think we're in a really good place right now.
Yeah, which is good. Every church has its ebbs and flows, and the journey of faith is not linear, right? There are all of these twists and turns, and we don't always treat each other with the grace and the compassion that we wish we did. But we try our darndest here. I think we do.
Sometimes when we're trying the hardest is when we're getting more in our way.
Yes. Yes.
It's coming from a good place. Usually when we take a stand, even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, what kinds of ways, you know, when we think about all these things that we have shared, is there anything that you want, that you think that either you personally want to do or you think this church should do more of to act out those values in the world?
I think, like Linda, whoever said it, that when a situation arises, let's just go for it.
Right.
And it seems like different groups feel comfortable enough to bring the situations to the church.
Yeah.
And not feel judged or not feel
right
put down.
Right. Yeah. And I think that kind of activism is going to be really important as we try to continue helping with the real needs of the world right now.
The needs are getting greater.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think we're going to find ourselves having to step up.
Yeah.
A lot more to fill in those gaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do we make other people aware that we would be willing to help them is what something that maybe we have to work on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had a knitting group I go to, the Holy Stitches.
Yeah.
I lost her name. The lady from the food pantry
come. Oh, Terry?
Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And explained all what they did. And I'm just sitting there, wait a minute. I thought they only gave up food and clothes, you know.
Yeah.
But they do an awful lot more.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing what they do.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And how they do it with what they have.
Yes.
And it's all donations. It's
not, right.
You know.
And that is Terry's life.
Yeah.
And learning what we could do to make that burden less for them.
Right.
As a Christian community.
Right.
And as everybody's been hinting around, it is amazing if sometime you get a chance to look behind the curtain and look around that good old Waupun has a great lot of people in need, and there'll probably be more.
Right.
When you see the people that come to the community table who you know are coming there for a meal, or the ones that stop by the church because they can't make their rent payment. Between every church in Waupun has a contingency fund, and then the ministerial group of Waupun also has a contingency fund, mm-hmm. and the amount of people that are constantly asking, and they're not scamming. I mean, they desperately need something. And then there's also a couple people who don't want that kind of help. Some of the payments from those groups have been turned down by landlords and the like because they want this, that, or the other thing, or they want a way to get that person out. I mean, I was very much, until probably joining here, blinded as to how many trouble or needing individuals there are in Waupun that you never really realize.
Yeah.
They said the community table has grown to about double. They used to serve probably about 40. Now there's about probably 80 that gather.
Wow.
And you can just kind of tell. I'm in and out of there once in a while. And you can just kind of tell that a lot of these people, this is what they get. This is what they need. This is
right.
And it's not only the food. It's the sitting next to somebody and talking to somebody or that kind of thing just as well. And she said that because now there's more people from the senior center coming, they're getting enough money to pay for the churches that give out the community. They get the churches give the food, but they need the paper plates and the napkins and the silver. They've been getting enough money to pay for all that plus more. They've got money to pay for a lot more right now because there are more people who have a little bit of money who could throw $5 or a couple dollars in that
collection. Oh, yeah.
So that is working for them a lot better.
That's amazing.
So that helps.
That's amazing.
And they get gift certificates from like the gas company.
Oh, wow.
She thought, I don't know she couldn't remember if it was our church or a different church that gave $50 vouchers for heating, for utility.
That might be a different church.
Well, that's what I kind of thought, because we gave gift ones, but not, that wasn't always to them, but.
They've done utility gift cards, but I don't know how they got distributed.
I think it was one of the
Christmas
Reformed churches.
Yeah.
You might be right. One of the Reformed churches, or Edgewood does a lot of that sort of thing, too.
And she said there's one church that pays like half of their rent every month. Once a month. Every January they pay half the rent because it doubled them.
Actually, I think it's even more than that because we even, there was a plea put out by Terry and her, committee.
Oh, yes. The food pantry rent. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
And we Waupun UCC have contributed and covered a month already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. We have.
Maybe that's what you
and, if each church would do that, since it aids everybody that's in the community, she'd have no problem there.
Yeah. So,
you know, like that's something I was never aware of, but now there was 50 women sitting around and now they can all back to their churches and denominations and say, well, maybe Terry needs this.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To swing back around, it's always intrigued me. We tried it once or twice to let people know what kind of neighbor we are, too. Because we have no idea, you know, the people that are surrounding us.
Mm.
Are they church members? Are they in need of something?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know who we are or what we are?
Right.
And we were very much in the community. Girl Scouts used to come here.
Mm-hmm.
If a terrible thing ever happened at one of the two prisons, the families were going to meet here and discuss things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we still are open to those things or not.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I haven't been on the council for a couple of years now, but something was brought up about this being a set, in case of any disaster, this church was going to be open.
Yeah, and
I think that's still on.
So and it's horrible that we even have to think about this, but the school that Penny Wagner works at, we are a site for if that school experiences an active shooter or, you know, a lockdown event or something like that. This is like a reunification site that parents come to. And this is also a site where students will be bussed away from that environment over to here. And you know, we've told the school that if they needed to, they can use the kitchen, you know, that sort of thing. And a couple of times the school has actually come here with doing a simulation of that so that the school personnel know this building, know how the building works, know what we offer here, and just sort of, you know, I've been around and Penny has been around to kind of walk people through what would happen if God forbid, that ever were something.
I think the hospital too.
Yeah.
Has something that they can come over here if they have.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of agreement there, which is great. So.
So I think that's kind of reaching out.
Yeah.
To other people. Maybe not a lot of people know about it, but mm-hmm. some do that we care enough that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in some situations, you know, hopefully that's never needed.
Yeah.
But it's a, you know, it's good for community organizations to have contingency plans, you know, and the fact that we can be a part of that, I think is really, really good and really important. So any last thoughts before we sort of wrap up? Very good. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. And looking forward to next week, we're talking about worship and the sacraments, why we do what we do. And this has just been a really fruitful discussion, and really, really excited for the next thing here. So. Take care and enjoy the rest of your evening.
I'm waving.
Yes.
I have a camera. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.